Pope Francis made history when he was named the first non-European pontiff in 1,300 years. That was 10 years ago Monday. From the first days of his papacy, he started calling for a deep renewal of the church. And just how much has the Catholic Church changed or transformed under his leadership? Let's talk now to John Allen. He's in Rome. John is an editor for Crux, the independent news organization that covers the Catholic Church. John, welcome back to Here and Now.
Hey, Scott. Glad to be with you.
When Francis emerged as the Pope 10 years ago, he immediately stepped out in public without wearing some of the traditional regalia clothing of the position. What were some of the early signals that he might be a different kind of pope?
Oh, I think from the very first moments of his election, it was clear that we were in for something significantly different. As you say, on the balcony, now, it wasn't just a question of how he was dressed, but you may recall that before he bestowed his blessing on the crowd, he actually knelt and asked the crowd to bless him. That was a novelty. Then immediately he announces he's not going to be living in the papal apartments, but instead he's going to live in the Doma Santa Marta. This is a sort of hotel on Vatican grounds where visitors stay.
Much more modest quarters, yeah?
Well, I mean, certainly less traditional. Then he goes back to the residence where he'd been staying before the conclave to pack his own bag and pay his own bill. I mean, really, 48, 72 hours in, the narrative about Pope Francis as a humble, simple man of the people and a maverick pope had fairly well been set.
Now, early on, he joked that the cardinals went to the ends of the earth to pick the next pope, as in him. Was that a sign, in a way, that he would focus on people on the margins, you know, on the ends of the earth, as he put it, the margins of capitalism, the margins of society?
Well, whether or not that's what the cardinals who voted for him had in mind, clearly that's one of the ways in which Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio of Argentina, the man who became Pope Francis, clearly how he interpreted it, because the outreach to the margins, both the geographical margins of the world, that is, places on the map that have long been kind of forgotten and isolated, but also marginalized populations. I mean, we can think about the poor, migrants and refugees, members of the LGBT plus community. You know, these are all groups who have become a focus for Pope Francis during these past 10 years. So I think he is a pope of the people and very much a pope of the margins.
And tell us a little bit more what he has said and done as far as the LGBT community, as far as migrants, others he has focused on.
Well, at a substantive level, he has clearly made the advocacy for migrants and refugees, in many ways, the heart of Catholic social teaching in his pontificate. I mean, his very first trip outside of Rome was to Lampedusa. That's the southernmost point in Italy, an island where migrants and refugees trying to make their way across the Mediterranean into Europe often wash up. And he went there to meet with migrants and refugees in a detention center, also to lay a wreath in the sea on behalf of all those who have died trying to make the crossing. I don't think there's a migrant or refugee on the face of the earth that doesn't look at Pope Francis as a great advocate and a great friend. As far as the LGBTQ plus community goes, once again, he has made outreach to that community a cornerstone of his pastoral ministry. He hasn't gone as far as some would like. He has not yet endorsed, for instance, blessings for same-sex unions. Some within his own flock would very much like him to do that. But I think there's no question that in terms of popes, no pope has gone farther or made more of a point of outreach to that community than Pope Francis.
Now, for those in the church on the Orthodox side of some of these issues, what have they said about these positions?
Well, there is a wide range of what you might call conservative opposition to Pope Francis. Farthest out, you would have people who believe that this pope is actually a heretic. That is, he is teaching heresy. He is contradicting the revealed truth that the church is supposed to uphold. Closer into the middle, you would have people who would say his priorities are wrong and that some of his prudential judgments are off, and who would say that they preferred the kind of leadership that the church had under Popes John Paul II and Benedict XVI, who had governed for collectively 35 years before Francis came along. It's worth noting, though, that his opposition doesn't only come from the right. There is also a constituency on the left that may think fondly of Pope Francis, but also worries that he's not going nearly far or fast enough. I mean, we just saw in Germany, for example, that country's Catholic bishops voting to bless same-sex unions, which is at odds with the official position endorsed by Pope Francis himself. So I think part of the drama of this papacy is that Francis is such a change agent that he has set loose these forces that sometimes even he cannot actually control.
Yeah. Outside the church, John, how do you think about the moral voice that the Pope has, and how this one has used that voice, whether it's for climate change or the limits of capitalism in the world? What comes to mind for you?
Well, I think Pope Francis is in some ways reminiscent of Pope John Paul II, now Saint John Paul II, in the sense that these were both eminently political popes who had enormous impact on the debates of their time. John Paul II played a key role in the collapse of the Soviet Empire by his support of the Solidarity movement in Poland. Mm-hmm, that helped set the dominoes in motion that led to the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Similarly, Pope Francis, whether the issue is climate change or policy on migrants and refugees, you know, has been on the front lines of these debates. A lot of people believe that he was the key moral force, for instance, behind the climate change accords that were reached in Paris. And so both popes, one more conservative, one more liberal, demonstrated the capacity of the papacy as a kind of moral bully pulpit.
Yeah. And as far as the critics of Francis inside and outside the church, what have they had to say about how he's handled scandals within the Catholic Church, the clergy sex abuse scandals?
Well, I think the Pope's critics would give him a grade of incomplete. They would say when it comes to the clerical sexual abuse scandals, he has said the right things and in many ways done the right things. He has committed himself to a zero tolerance policy. He has adopted tough new legislation to make that policy stick. On the other hand, critics would say there still are some cases, whether it's a bishop from Argentina who was accused of sexual and financial misconduct, who was given shelter for a long time in Rome, or there is currently a Jesuit priest, a member of the Pope's own religious order, who has been accused of sexual misconduct with adult women, nuns under his supervision, who was excommunicated, but then it was sort of mysteriously lifted, and it's still not clear what the Pope's involvement there may have been. That there are enigmatic cases like that. And further, there are those who would say that although he has adopted legislation to punish bishops who have covered up for sex abuse, that legislation has rarely been used. And so I think the critical chorus for the Pope on this issue would say the rhetoric has been great, the action has been a mixed bag.
Mm. And finally, John, briefly, the Pope is 86. What's next for him?
Well, this year and next year, he is presiding over something called a Synod of Bishops. That's a gathering of bishops from around the world devoted precisely to the theme of synodality, which is Catholic code for sort of democratization, shared decision making. It's part of the transformation of the Catholic Church the Pope is trying to engineer. Over the next 12 to 18 months, nothing is more important to this Pope. But I would not limit him to that. If there's one thing we've learned about Pope Francis over the last 10 years, it's never to be too dogmatic about what he's going to do next, because if nothing else, this is a Pope of surprise.
We have been talking to John Allen in Rome. He's an editor at Crux, the independent news organization. John, thanks as always. Great to talk to you.
Good to be with you, Scott.